Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer. He's our guy. We love talking ball with him every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. He is all over the National Football League. He had something today that I found interesting about Leonard Fournette. We can get into that, but let's start with quarterback Albert Breer. Good morning. Hope you got your son off to school on time today. And you said that eight teams have called the Jets about trading for Sam Darnold. Was one of those eight from Lake Forest, Illinois?
I wouldn't rule it out. I certainly think that they, you know, they've done their due diligence on everything. So, you know, I think that this time of year, everybody's calling everybody and these things come up. And so sometimes they can be foggy, and I'm not trying to be evasive, you know, but everybody talks to everybody. And so these players will come up, and to what degree a team is involved in this player versus that player, you know, that's on the trade block. Sometimes that can be vague, but, you know, I certainly know that the Jets have looked at the Bears as one of the teams that they believe should have an interest in him, along with Washington, I guess, before they signed Fitzpatrick, and then maybe San Francisco. So, Sam is an interesting case, and I think he's got a chance to really flourish somewhere else if he can go to the right situation. I think for another team, it's an opportunity to bring in somebody who's going to be relatively affordable. But, my sense is the Bears – yeah, I still feel like they would like to take a bigger swing than that. The question is whether that bigger swing is out there for them, because right now, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson just aren't available.
So, Albert, what are scouts and personnel people saying about Sam Darnold? Are they saying that because he's with Adam Gase that he deserves a second opportunity because he wasn't coached well, tutored well? What's the prevailing thought on Sam's future?
The tape was really bad last year, and that might not have been completely his fault, I guess is the way to put it. He came out of USC, and I think people get this idea because he's from Orange County and because he played at that school that he really entered the NFL as a pro-style quarterback, and that's not what he was. He was more of an athlete still learning the position. He was pretty raw, coming out of USC and needed a lot of work. And, you know, he gets there. The first year, obviously, was tumultuous. And then in year two, you know, he gets an offensive coordinator who'd been used to, or I guess a head coach, who had been used to working with much more experienced quarterbacks. And, where I think he needed somebody to simplify it for him, the Jets just put a lot on his plate. And so, you know, I think even in the Jets building, there's an acknowledgement that if somebody can get a hold of him and find a way to simplify the game for him and let him be an athlete and let him grow a little bit, he really could wind up being the quarterback that so many thought he had the potential to be when he was coming out in 2018. I just think, you know, the sense I've gotten is a confluence of events kind of conspired to, I guess, make the last couple of years a little bit of just a clunky fit for him in New York. And now, because it is New York, I think there's this feeling that, you know, there's his relationship there with the team, the city is so complicated that maybe it's best for everybody that they get a clean break. And again, I really do think for another team, there could be some opportunity there to bring in a guy who was, I can tell you this, like thought of by a lot of people as the top quarterback in that draft class in 2018. And, you know, that class, of course, included guys like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
So if I'm Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, Like, I haven't seen anything from that guy that I go, oh, boy, like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's different. I would feel better that, like, if they get Andy Dalton, you know, no interest on this end. But if you also right. told me they took their capital and moved up to get whoever the guy is that Matt identified as the quarterback whisperer, that's the guy, whoever that is, then I would feel better about that than rolling the dice on a guy who was miserable in New York. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, I think if you brought in Sam, my guess would be, like, if Sam were to go to Chicago, were to go to San Francisco, if Washington were still to take a swing on him, and my guess is that those teams in an ideal world would want to put him in a competition because there is still a lot of unknown with Darnold. And whether or not, like, you know, the issues you see on tape are permanent issues or things that you can work with that were sort of circumstantial there. So I agree with you on that. I look at the Bears situation and I think it's a little bit, it's not totally unlike like where Carolina is or where Washington is. And that's kind of a scary place to be because those places, like Ron Rivera is going into year two, Matt Rhule is going into year two. You know, that's not the situation in Chicago. The rest of the team is fully formed and a team that should be, you know, in position to contend right now. And so, you know, you're in a little bit of a different spot than those other teams in that, I think you probably feel like you want a guy that you can win with right now. Maybe beyond anything else because there are jobs on the line this year, you know? And so that's one part of it. And then the other part of it is, I don't know that any of the top four quarterbacks are going to.
All right, we're going to put you on hold because we're losing him on his cell. So we'll see if we can get him reestablished. It's interesting. I mean, Sam Darnold has some upside.
Yeah.
It just.
And everyone deserves a second opportunity. But do you want it to be for your team? That's the question.
Got it.
So, I mean, we got to figure that out.
Albert, we got you back?
Is that better?
Yeah. Way better.
Albert.
All right, good.
So when were the Patriots all of a sudden the Yankees or the Padres? $81 million in bonuses and guarantees they're spending. The Patriots have never done this. I want to get your thoughts on that. And also the re-signing of Cam Newton. What stands out most about that as well?
Yeah, so I would say, like, the first part of your question, this is sort of a result of them not drafting very well. And I know it looks like, wow, like, you know, Bill's out for blood and everything else. I do think there's an element of, like, being very dissatisfied with going 7-9. But I think as much as anything else, this is they didn't draft well in 15. They didn't draft well in 16. They didn't draft well in 17. They didn't draft well in 18. And so the effect that that has is you don't have players on your own roster to pay. And then all of a sudden you've got this kind of vacuum that you have to fill. And that's where they were coming into this offseason. You know, they had about $70 million in cap space because they didn't have players on their own roster that were worth paying. And so part of it is, you know, just kind of the circumstance that they're in. I think that there is like a little bit of a market inefficiency that they're looking at right now and saying, well, we should be able to get better deals this year because there are less bidders on the top players. So that's part of it. You know, and then I think as far as Cam goes, I still view him as a placeholder. I still think that the way they look at it is maybe you can get glimpses of like 2015, 2016 Cam again. Maybe that guy comes back, but you don't want to count on it. And so I think, you know, they at least, at the very least now have an experienced starting quarterback on the roster and a guy who can be a placeholder for you while you continue to look. And, you know, guys, I think it's sort of like what Nick Foles is for the Bears right now, what Teddy Bridgewater is for Carolina right now, where, you know, you look at your quarterback and you're like, okay, like, we know that we have a guy who, you know, again, has real-life NFL experience on our roster as a starting quarterback, but we're going to continue to look. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make another move with a veteran at quarterback, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they took someone somewhere early in the draft of the position.
Before we let you go, Trent Williams, the Bears have inquired there. They need a massive upgrade at left tackle.
Yeah.
And also, you posted something about Leonard Fournette this morning.
So Trent Williams is certainly, I got to tell you this, I talked to a couple people over the last week, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm breaking down, you know, San Francisco offensive line play. But, I mean, I've talked to enough people over the last couple of weeks who've said to me, you know, and including people in San Francisco, that this was the, like, what they saw last year was like the Trent Williams they saw at his peak in Washington. So a top two or three left tackle in the entire NFL. Guys like that generally don't make it to the market. So, you know, the fact that, you know, there are really good teams bidding on him, the fact that the Chiefs checked in on him despite having a tough cap situation, the fact that the Bears would take a look at him even though they'd probably have to maneuver some things cap-wise, 100% makes sense to me. So I expect Trent Williams to sort of buck the trend that we've seen where the prices are a little lower than they'd normally be and get like a really healthy deal at about $20 million a year. And then, you know, as far as Leonard Fournette goes, I do think it's sort of interesting in that, like, he has a market now. And I think a lot of people are sort of going back and looking what they thought of him coming out in 2017. And they see his performance in the playoffs and they think something's there. And so Seattle's made a really strong bid for him. And the Seahawks sort of see it as, could this be the same as like when we got Marshawn Lynch out of Buffalo, right? And then we can sort of rebuild that identity that we had with Leonard Fournette as part of it. And then the Patriots have been lurking there too, which I think you guys understand why that one's sort of interesting. When Tom Brady's actively recruiting him back to Tampa and New England's getting in the way of that, it you add that to how aggressive Bill's been, and maybe you can kind of you know, put two and two together and maybe kind of like conjure up what Bill's mindset might be with all this.
Make us smarter. Give us a story that you haven't told anyone else yet.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, I think what we're going to see over the next, you know, 24 to 48 hours is the bottom really dropping out on the market. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the deals that you've already seen have, like, and I know you guys pay attention to this stuff. You'll see the initial numbers, and then you'll see a second set of numbers come out later that have like $7 or $8 million lopped off of it. The deals have not been, you know, the deals have not been close to what they normally would be. And I think, you know, over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours, we're going to see why some agents told their players to take deals before free agency started. And some players moved very, very quickly to take deals over the last 24 hours, because those agents are being smart about it, and they know, like, this is that there's about a third of the cap room that there normally would be, and that cap room is going to dry up very, very fast. And so, you know, I think by the time we get to Thursday, Friday, most of the money is going to be gone, and you're going to be seeing a lot of guys having kind of swallow their pride and take one-year prove-it deals, maybe in places they didn't expect to be going.
Hey, man, have a great day, okay? Hey, one quick question. Thanks. When you get to a hotel, you're on the road, and they go, Mr. Breer, I'm sorry, your room's not ready. What do you do?
That's a great question. I mean, I haven't run into that situation. In COVID, it would be a pain in the ass. But because, you know, you can't just go down the street to a Starbucks or whatever. But I think that's normally what I would do. Normally, I guess I would probably either I try to find somewhere to sit in the lobby and maybe get some work done, or find like a Starbucks or something like that nearby. But that's I would think that would be way more complicated now than it used to be, right?
Yeah, you did hear that six of the biggest name officials in the NCAA tournament, we're talking like Ted Valentine level, those guys got to their hotel after the Big Ten tournament or wherever they were working, got to Indy for the NCAAs. They got to go in the bubble. Sorry, your rooms aren't ready. All right, we're going to go get something to eat. And they got permission to do that, came back, one of them tested positive, the other five, sorry, you're out, contact tracing, and they all had to go home.
Oh, man, that sucks. Holy crap. I got to check that story out. But, yeah, what would you guys do? Like, I would think, like, you just go get something to eat, go to Starbucks, whatever, right?
No, well,
that's normal.
I'm demanding for them to open up a room. Look at it this way. A lot of these places have early checkout, right? And they want you whether you're ready or not, they want you out of the room by 11. Okay, so great. So in that midday window between 11 and 4, when I get there at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, I expect my room to be ready. Otherwise, I need an upgrade. How about that? right
there
away.
There you go. There you go. Well, I have. I don't want to brag, but I have status, so normally I don't have to deal with these things. So,
oh, well,
that's why.
Yeah.
I told Hoodie.
Yes.
40 years I've been Marriott. Now platinum like you,
yeah.
Because I'll drive 20 minutes out of my way only to stay in a Marriott.
I forgot about the status.
You know what? Like, I'm 100% with you.
Yes.
I am committed. I am 100% committed to staying in Marriott, and I will go way out of my way to do it. And I'm looking at my account right now, right? And so me and my wife just booked five nights at Marco Island at this beautiful JW Marriott that everybody recommended to us, right?
Yes.
After booking that, I still have 1.4 million Marriott points.
I had 1.2. Oh, you got me.
Man. You know, I tell you what, Breer, it's just very difficult to relate when you're in the back of the limo with the tinted windows. It's hard for us to relate to that, the little folk like me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cap's right, though. Cap is 100% right, though.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a commitment.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not living in those limos. It takes a commitment to staying in a Marriott. It takes a commitment to where you're driving, like you said, 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Where you're going where you may be doing, like, you may be going to work in a certain place because there's a Marriott you like in that place. Like, it takes commitment to get over a million Marriott points.
It does.
You know, I think it's your privilege right now to be talking to two people at the same time who are in that club.
Take that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That and a bowl of cereal. That's what it's worth right now.
Yeah, and a free trip to Marco Island. Hey, man, have a great day, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you. There he is, the great Albert Breer.
It's good to have that point-to-point communication privilege, isn't it?
That's it.
It's really good. That's
Marriott point-to-point.
Oh, no, it's absolutely. It's relatable.
The DePaul head basketball job is now open. Is that a better job than the Loyola job? That's next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
All right, rolling on. Cap Jay Hood, ESPN 1000. Thank you, Albert Breer, for making us all smarter in the National Football League. Yesterday was kind of a bloodletting of some major jobs in college basketball. Indiana got one benefactor. Some are speculating it's Mark Cuban. And $10 million to Archie Miller for him to go away after 4 years. That surprise you?
No, in Indiana, no. Because whoever takes that job, he'll never be Bob Knight.
Correct.
You know the seat's been hot for Archie in Indiana for a long time.
You've been there
the
last couple years. 4 years.
But you didn't get to where you need to be. And it's interesting. It's kind of like Nebraska football. It's like, oh, we're supposed to be in the national title picture every year. Oklahoma, you're supposed to be in the national title picture every year in football. No, you're not. Not in these days.
Mm-hmm.
To a 17, 18-year-old, Indiana's just another program.
Right.
To you and I, we know how big of a blue blood program that has been under Knight and what he left behind.
Nick Tomkreen is sitting at the University of Georgia and going, guys thought you could do better, huh? He had gotten them to Sweet 16s. They have now fallen to irrelevant status. No tournaments in 4 years under Archie. And do you know that if they had waited one more season to fire him, the buyout drops from $10 million to $3.5 million. From $10 million to $3.5 million. And they were so desperate to cut ties that they wrote a check. One guy, I'll pay for it, $10 million.
Just get him off my TV.
Correct.
Just think about that. He was a hot name coming out of Dayton, the run they had in Dayton,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that was your choice for Indiana coach.
Mm-hmm.
The hot coach from a smaller school.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Indiana settled for, huh? That's what they settled for.
There were a lot of Illinois fans that were upset that they didn't get Archie Miller when they got Brad Underwood. There were a lot of them went, how could we not have gotten Archie Miller?
Well,
Brad's a way, way more compelling personality. That's what I would say to Archie, and I've covered him. I did a ton of Dayton games.
Yep.
Archie's a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
His personality, some people don't feel like he has any personality.
Right.
You got to be able to sell a program like that.
Well, I mean, just keep in mind, whoever's in that chair, unless you get to where Knight was, you'll never be able to fill that role. Because that's all people remember.
That's it.
The red sweater, the red face, and the championships. That's all they remember. And so now it all ties. We talk about Indiana, but it all ties into what else is happening in the Midwest. As Cap said last week, the possibility of Richard Pitino being fired in Minnesota.
Happened yesterday.
That happened. Yeah. Not a surprise there. Dave Leto let go at DePaul. You know my relationship with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave Leto is a friend.
He's a great man.
2002-2005, he had a really good program, and he left to go to Virginia.
Correct.
That did not work out well for him because he knew the AD, thought it was going to work out, didn't work out at all.
Got paid.
Yeah, he got paid, and that's great. But then he was kind of going along in the G League a little bit after that Virginia time, was in the G League trying to figure out what he wants to do. And Gene Lenny Ponsetto, the then athletic director, had an opportunity to really make a splash, Oliver Purnell. Mm-hmm. Oliver is a hell of a coach when it comes to knowing when to leave. Get paid and leave before they fire you. He does that very well.
Yeah, I thought that was a bad hire from day one. Did not like the hire.
No.
Now, the guy they tried to hire back then who said no was Frank Martin. He's at South Carolina. He's taken them to a Final Four. They did not have a good year this year. Frank Martin's a phenomenal coach.
He has Chicago ties. He has family that's in Chicago.
Correct.
So I get that, Cap. But I just want to just hone in just for a second on Leto because of the hire of Leto. This is why it's dangerous to bring back someone that you already know.
Mm-hmm.
Leto 2.0 was a bad idea. It was a bad idea for Dave,
mm-hmm.
but also a bad idea for Genie.
But for Dave, he wasn't getting another one. He was the assistant where? Tulsa at the time?
Yeah, but you work your way back in it, though, Cap. It's never is a long time. He already had a track record of being a head coach. Whether he's going to be a top assistant or a head coach, it was going to happen again. I just didn't expect it to be at DePaul. It's just kind of like Jeannie. I think she actually hired a search firm and it circled back to Leto. That's just bad.
Correct.
It's just bad. You have to be able to have new flavor in there. And I will also say this. DePaul should not be in the Big East. I said at the time. I know the money's good. But even though the Big East won the Chicago market cap, it's just you need to have someone in there that can be able to battle with Ewing at Georgetown in the Northeast and try to recruit nationally. DePaul used to be a national program. You got to get the best in the Midwest first, and DePaul hasn't done enough of that to win.
Yeah, I believe that they can compete in the Big East. I'm not telling you you're going to win national championships, but I'm telling you, you can. And from what I'm being told, they've got the money lined up to go get whoever the right guy is. And I'll throw a few names at you. Porter Moser. Look, Loyola's a really good job because he made it a good job. It wasn't before he got there. They've upgraded facilities. Meller's a Loyola grad. Porter is making like $900. That's a very, very good payday for anyone.
Be careful.
Here's my thought. And I do the games in the Valley. I love the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-bid league usually. You got two this year.
Lucky to have two.
They were the number 9 team in net rating. That's the tool that the NCAA uses to evaluate teams for seeding. Go look where the first 8 are seeded. They're all in the top 3. The number 9 team got an 8 seed. You're not going to get to the tournament every year from Loyola. You're just not. So if DePaul called and said $2 million a year, double you, it's a better job in terms
and
of
$2 million and never go to the tournament.
I think you can. I absolutely
think
you can. No, I think you can rebuild that thing with Dwayne Peavy there. I'm telling you. Now the guy they wanted was Kenny Payne.
Yeah.
And Kenny's under contract with the Knicks, and I think he's going to stay there.
I was for sure thinking he's going to get that job. I know he wants the job.
I don't think he does.
I think that he would like to have that job. He was a top recruiter at Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
PB knows him from Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
So you talk about 4-star recruits at the least. That'd be great for DePaul. He just can't get that. I guess he's going to stay with the Knicks, right?
He's going to stay with Worldwide West and Tom Thibodeau. Those are his guys.
Only problem is he doesn't have head coaching experience. That would be the negative if he took the DePaul job.
Let your boy Tommy Kleinschmidt have the DePaul job. Stay away from my Porter, okay?
I will tell you the candidates, and should I go back into coaching? Hoodie and the fellas give me the pros and cons of stopping doing radio and TV and coaching. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rock and roll, Cap Jay Hood, ESPN 1000, Jesse Rogers at 9 o'clock. Javi Baez spoke about his contract. Cubs and White Sox played to a tie yesterday. Lucas Giolito's the opening day starter. No surprise there. So a lot of baseball to get to. Shot, no shot today. But we are talking some college hoops. So DePaul's open. Northern just filled their job with Rashawn Bruno, the former DePaul guard.
Interesting. Interesting hire there.
Yep. He was an assistant at Arizona State the last several years. You have Indiana now open, Minnesota now open, Arizona open, Iowa State open. Like, there's a bunch of jobs looking for coaches.
Who knew we were going to have a Black Monday yesterday? I didn't know. That was after we left. It's
right.
Like, oh, it just kept popping on the phone. Fired. Fired. Like, oh, geez.
Yeah, in a pandemic, you're like, wow, boosters are stepping up.
I knew Lato was happening. I just didn't know when.
Right.
Now, you know, it just, DePaul is a plum job. It's not because I'm from Chicago, but I know what DePaul was. But just as we talk about Indiana, we talk about some of these other programs in college football or basketball, it was a great program. Will ever be again. As I mentioned, I'm just not a big fan of them being in the Big East, Cap. I just think it's hard for them to compete unless you have the right coaching staff in place.
But if you get out of the Big East and you go into the Valley, the Horizon, whatever it is, the amount of money...
I get it.
...that you cost yourself, part of the Big East network with Fox, all of it, they're just, it's never going to happen.
You're just showcasing yourself in a bad way, 17 years not being in the tournament. That sucks.
Sucks.
17 years.
That's why this will define Dwayne Peavy's career as the AD there, who he hires. As I said to you last segment, I think Kenny Payne, his relationship with Kenny, who was at Kentucky, I think Kenny Payne was the guy he had targeted, Tibbs and Worldwide West, who worked for the Knicks, and Leon Rose, who's the president there at the Knicks, are all saying, hold on a second, we just got you a big deal here. You're under contract. What are you doing? No, you're not going there.
I don't want the DePaul to get the hot assistant. I know there's a few hot assistants out there.
What if it's John Shire?
I'd rather for them to be able to get someone with some experience in there. That's what I would prefer, not the hot assistant.
Okay,
if you really believe in the DePaul job, get yourself someone that has experience.
Okay, Porter Moser, he doesn't have to move.
Right.
Again, Loyola's a great school, all of it. If they can pay him double what he's making, which is almost $1 million, double. And you have four Big East teams in the tournament this year. The Valley, we know it's much tougher to get two teams. They got two this year, but it's not every year. So one upset in the tournament, in a conference tournament, you're like, oh, we had a great year, but we're out again. So he's taken two teams to the dance. He took one to the Final Four. I wouldn't be surprised if he left. I would not.
And took the Arizona job.
That would be an amazing job.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to get a long-term deal because they're going on heavy probation. So you've got, you go to Arizona, you're probably walking in, what I was told yesterday, to NCAA sanctions, no tournament, recruiting restrictions. You're probably going to get a 7-year deal, somewhere around $22 million. It's a lot of money.
Sure. Sign me up. I'll build it up.
There you go.
I'll build it back.
Right.
I will beat your ass in recruiting in Southern California. I will take over the state of Arizona. If nothing else, I'll do that. I won't get UCLA, USC guys. But I can compete with San Diego State, a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a little powerhouse, hasn't it?
It has.
Since Fisher. So let me see what I can do. I'd take it.
Okay. You've got at DePaul. I think saying we have to be able to recruit the public league is a bit of an overrated statement. It's not the be-all, end-all. You don't have to only recruit Chicago. You got to be able to get players from everywhere, but you also have to keep the good ones in the city at home and in the area. And I don't think they've done a very good job at that. But you got to be able to recruit a lot of places.
What's the selling point, though, for DePaul? If you're a player
who's a decent player, whether it's in the city or even outside of the
city. Every game's on national TV.
So,
and most schools schools. Agreed.
It applies
so that's
to every
not
school.
A selling point. The city is a selling point.
Love, of course.
I'm already from here. I'm good.
The Big East Conference is a selling point.
Is it still a selling point? The Big East Mondays don't really mean anything to anybody except unless you're over the age of 35.
Yep. John Thompson's now walking through that door.
You get the right coach in here.
I don't disagree with
you
that.
You can win and win big there.
The question is, what are the selling points for DePaul? Your stadium's not even on campus.
Georgetown's
not on campus.
But for a guy that went to the University of Kansas, Fog Allen Fieldhouse is in the middle of that campus.
But that blue blood. That's an amazing program.
Not even a blue blood. Just go around. You both have called college basketball.
Uh-huh.
You know there's a different vibe when you're going to a game that's in the middle of the campus than here. DePaul is in Lincoln Park, Wintrust Arena, gorgeous arena, absolutely phenomenal. It's on the south side by McCormick Place.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to draw.
It's a hard draw. You don't get that same student section feel you get at other schools.
That's fair.
You just don't.
That's the problem is I know what you're saying. DePaul was great. They were the toast of the town for a long time throughout the 70s and the 80s, right? But we're now so far removed from that anybody who is a potential player you'd be recruiting has no concept of, quote, DePaul basketball, because as Hody just said, 17 years since their last tournament?
Yeah, I mean, we all love Chicago, but so many kids want to get away from their parents, and they want to be able to branch out. You can't give them the selling point of, well, your game's going to be on Channel 9. Well, I mean, it goes all over the country. Well, all their games go all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
so it's just tough.
You tell a 14 or a 15-year-old, say Channel 9. Ask them, what do I mean when I say Channel 9?
They have no clue. No concept.
Nine.
My kids don't even know numbers go with TV channels. I'm dead serious.
Right.
They're like streaming service.
Don't disagree.
They're like, what's the name of the network? What do you mean there's a number?
Why is the St. John's job, which was awful, turned around? St. John's has the same exact issues DePaul has. And they've turned that thing around.
Since when Lavin left?
Since Lavin left, and then they went to Chris Mullin, it didn't work. Now they brought in, was it Mike Jarvis?
Yeah. Jarvis was before
the guy,
that.
Mike Anderson, who was at Arkansas.
Yeah.
So St. John's has gotten it pointed in the right direction. Seton Hall's got it pointed in the right direction. Providence under Ed Cooley has gotten that thing back on solid ground.
It's a solid program.
Xavier is a solid program.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing is getting that thing now to the tournament. Marquette has had its struggles under Steve Wojciechowski, but it's been a very good program. Mm-hmm. Same deal. Butler, you're telling me I can't... Okay, Villanova's at a different level. I'll give you that.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying it's hard when you're stuck in the cycle of being at the bottom of a conference, even if it's a good conference.
That's why you need the right guy.
Again, though, what is the selling point? I know you're...
You know, I got an answer. Here's the answer. Me as a head coach have to sell the program. I have to sell me. I got to sell me. If I'm Frank Martin, I got to sell me and what I've done. That's all I can do because those banners up there doesn't mean anything to a 17, 18-year-old.
Correct.
It just doesn't.
It's got to be a guy who knows how to get – like when Brad Underwood rolled in there, everyone's like, who?
He had to sell himself.
Correct.
You can't sell the gross era. So the answer to the question, Meller, is I got to sell me.
My vision.
It's my vision. Look, I know that you see us at the bottom of the standings every year. I know that we struggled for the last 17 years, but believe in me. We're going to do it for us and this city. That's all I can tell you. I know you don't know who Ray Meyer is. I know you don't know what this court means or what this program means, but believe in me. You may not believe in DePaul, but believe in me to lead you to where we need to be.
He's exactly right.
That's your selling point.
And you know what? That's a good answer. Get a charismatic person then to coach the team.
So my three guys that I would look at, Porter Moser.
Get away from my Porter.
John Shire at Duke, the associate head coach. Frank Martin. Frank's team wasn't great this year with COVID and all the shutdown. He took him to the final freaking four at South Carolina, 3 years ago?
What about Rick Pitino?
Get the H out of here.
DePaul a better job than Iona? I'm just asking.
You know what? It's a better job than Iona.
It's perfect.
Why not Rick Pitino?
It's perfect.
I don't need the baggage.
No, it's not the baggage. It's perfect. He looks like the logo. Be possessed.
It's like a demon.
One program down.
Listen, if anybody can rebuild that program, if anybody can turn it around, Rick Pitino can.
Hard pass.
I will snatch your banners.
Him alone brings you a Q rating.
All banners down.
All right, we'll get to your calls.
Five.
These guys want me to go for the job.
Five Absolutely. Dirty programs.
We'll be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we're talking some college hoops because DePaul's open, Indiana's open, Minnesota's open, Iowa State's open, Arizona's open. Porter Moser's got to be on a lot of short lists. I keep hearing the Indiana short list. Scott Drew, Chaka Smart, Chris Beard at Texas Tech, John Beilein. We'll see. We'll see.
Chaka turned around in Texas. Just stay there. Just hang out, hang on. Got to determine, right?
Get a fresh deal if you go to Indiana. Fresh paper. Ugh. Fresh paper.
But I'm never night.
You're never night.
You cannot be happier than happy. Oh, I get more money, and I lose more. Now, where's my next head coaching job? Now, is that worth the risk?
What alum from the University of Illinois, the University of Indiana is going to help you draw kids there? Because at the University of Texas, you point to Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant loves Texas.
Yep.
Loves Texas. Is willing to go down there and help Chaka Smart anytime he asks. That's the problem with Indiana. It was a blue blood so long ago that the 17, 18-year-old recruits today have no clue what it once was.
I still think it's one of the top 10 jobs in the country.
Then you point out, hey, but we got Isaiah Thomas. And they say, I watched The Last Dance. Isaiah Thomas is a guy Michael Jordan hates.
How about Mark Cuban?
Well, is Mark Cuban giving me some of that $4.4 million to come there? $1 billion?
Who do you think bought out?
Listen, I understand. But if I'm a 17-year-old recruit, what does that matter to me? Is Mark Cuban paying me? Am I getting some Mark Cuban money to come to Indiana?
I'm just telling you, it's a great job. It's a great job.
Should we throw your name in the hat?
No, I don't want that job.
But it's a great job.
It is.
You won't even take the Indiana job?
All right, so which job do you want? Do you want the DePaul job?
If I was ever going to go back in coaching, that would be the job I'd want.
DePaul?
Yes.
And we'll be back on Channel 9. Take that.
No shot.
So who do we need to call?
Dwayne Peavy.
But it'd be great. Now, do you have your assistants in mind?
I do.
Want to reveal one? I know the list. I won't say it.
No shot.
Come on, man. Was one from the public league?
Yes.
Okay. Is one that knows the state very well?
Yes.
Is one as good in the Midwest or a national recruiter?
Yes.
Okay. I know your guys.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
Danny knows one of them.
I like Kevin O'Neill.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, my God. Kevin. If Kevin O'Neill's coming, I'm in.
There you go.
I'll be on the staff, too.
I like the DePaul job for you, Cap. I think you could win two games in the Big East.
Oh!
Wow. Kenny in University Village. What's up, Sparkles?
Hey, what's up, guys? Wanted to talk about, like, all these, especially the DePaul job. Now, Cap, if you take that job, you're going to need a guards assistant, and no better guard than me.
You, okay? Yeah, exactly.
The great Kenny Williams from UIC, man.
You got it.
Let's start there. So, you know, that's a Paul job. And, you know, I go back and I remember them playing on WGN. And, you know, they're going to need – I think John Beilein would be great, right?
I don't think he takes that job.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, if they can pay him, to be honest with you. But, yeah, he'd be great. But then you guys got to understand how the landscape of recruiting has changed. You don't recruit a kid by going to your high school anymore. It's all about your AAU ties, right?
Yes.
If you look at these top programs, like let's take Illinois, my friend Ron Coleman, great hire, but do you see the players on that team where they came from? They came from Mac Urban Fire. They're best friends. So,
yep.
Like, you have to navigate through that, especially in Chicago. You guys know this.
Yep.
You have to be able to navigate AAU, and if you can't do that, it doesn't matter what coach is there. You know what I mean? And your assistants need to be, you know, deep within Chicago. And then, you know, I think, you know, with a lot of these schools, you know, especially with like DePaul, what alumni are involved in that program when the program was successful? So then that's what you have to kind of help sell. And the problem is that they don't have any. Like the guys that, you know, I think there was a story about Mark Aguirre wanting that job a long time ago, right?
Yep.
Where he was going to pay to be the coach, basically. I guess maybe he didn't have a degree or whatever, but you have to, when your program is down, that's when you need your alumni to stand up and help with this. DePaul doesn't have that anymore. You know, Tommy Kleinschmidt, I know him very well. It'd be a great that'd be a great hire. But, you know, what direction, you know, with the new AD, where are they going? Like, before you can hire a coach, okay, do they need to get out of the conference? You know what I mean? Do they go to Horizon League? Well, you know, for DePaul, they will never do that.
Yeah,
they're
that's
in
not
the Big
happening.
East. Yeah, they're in the Big East because they still think that they're a blue blood, and they're not, right? So I think, you know, with all these other coaching vacancies, with Porter Moser, I don't think he's leaving Loyola. They for every win he gets in the tournament, add $100,000 to his next paycheck.
Yeah,
you know
he's
what
gonna,
I mean?
He's so, going to get – Kenny, we got to roll, man. Have a wonderful rest of your day, okay?
All right, guys, my bad.
You got it. We'll see you. That guy could flat-out play.
No question
he
about that.
He could ball. That was your partner. Cubs Sox yesterday, Dylan Cease pitched, Javi Baez spoke. Jesse Rogers, four hot dogs in, fills us in next. 2 minutes.